Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Happy Friday, folks, and welcome to another edition of First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I am your host, Tyler Levine, out here in California for the weekend. Beautiful weather, I gotta say. Look, I love the Miami weather, but there's something about it out here that is just special. We got a fun show planned for you guys this week. We really do. Although it is the international break, no Premier League action this weekend, we will be recapping last weekend's Premier League action, which was beyond juicy. We got a cup final to discuss, the Carabao Cup final between Newcastle and Liverpool, which, I mean, if you haven't seen the clips already, that game encapsulates why we love this sport so much. Seeing the reaction of the Newcastle fans, different, you know, three generations of Newcastle fans who haven't seen a trophy in 70 years, a domestic trophy for the club, they finally get their trophy. When you look at Newcastle today versus where they were at even 5 years ago, it's night and day. And the way that that club has turned it around with new ownership, bringing in a new coach, a new transfer strategy, it's what any club who's looking to turn it around would want to see. It's what me as a Manchester United fan, I would love if our rebuild was handled in the way that Newcastle's was. But nonetheless, an unbelievable win for them. We're going to break that down. We're going to talk all the fan reactions. Nico and I will give our opinions on the state of Newcastle and how big of a win that really was. And then we'll transition to something that is probably a little less exciting to talk about, which is the United States being out of the Nations League, whatever you want to call it. They lost to Panama last night, 1-0. Just really bad all around. The state of the United States soccer program, all in all, is, you know, it's up in the air right now. We're going to break that down as well, and we'll chat about the international break a bit. But nonetheless, First Touch is here, baby. It is Friday. I'm your host, Todd Levine, here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Don't move. Up next, we're bringing on my co-host, Nico Beef Sauce, and we're diving right into it. See you guys in a minute.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of First Touch on this beautiful Friday afternoon, March the 21st, amidst March Madness, a ton of sports going on. We're going to cover everything from Carabao Cup Final, Week 29, English Premier League recap, the USA lost to Panama. Nico, I don't know if you just saw, but for those who, you know, we're going to bring Nico in here in a sec. I just was, you know, on my phone watching this clip before we went live here. A Chelsea U10 player pulled off one of the most insane goals I've ever seen, rainbowing the goalkeeper and like three defenders all at once. I encourage anyone listening during the break, go look that up. Nico, I mean, what a goal, first of all. Second of all, happy Friday. Excited to have you back to get
happy Friday to you, my friend, and whoever's listening. I mean, that kid that scored that goal, if you're a parent and your kid's playing soccer, if your kid scores that goal, you're calling Real Madrid the next day, and you're like, "Hey, let me send you."
Well, there's two mindsets around that. The goal is unbelievable. If that doesn't go in, though, he's through on goal and just decides to do a rainbow flick over three people. Pretty insane.
It's the Balotelli show.
Very good comparison. All right, let's start with the Carabao Cup final. Newcastle 2, Liverpool 1. I didn't have the odds on it. A better script for Newcastle fans. We all remember two seasons ago, Newcastle was in the Carabao Cup final against Manchester United. They lost. Their hunt for a domestic trophy continued on. Dan Burns, for those who don't know, grew up a Newcastle fan. Would go to games with his father. I encourage you all to look up the letter that his dad wrote him before the Carabao Cup final two seasons ago. It brings tears to your eyes. Just have chills even talking about it. He scores the first goal in this game in the 45th minute, towering header. I mean, right after halftime, the goal looks simple, but when you watch his movement and how he finds that spot to make it 2-0, it's unbelievable. His celebration is so cold. I mean, the still shots, the videos, the edits that are going all across social media are unbelievable. Chiesa, I honestly forgot he was even on Liverpool because he never plays. He did get one back for Liverpool, but it wasn't enough. It's Newcastle's first domestic trophy in 70 years. Eddie Howe, what a story. I mean, he was, for those who don't know, Eddie Howe was forced to retire from club football at the age of 29. He took Bournemouth from the fifth tier of English football all the way to the Premier League and then made his big move to Newcastle, turned around the team with the help of new ownership as well. I mean, everywhere you look at Newcastle, these storylines are unbelievable. And he, as a United fan, I don't care. I'll say it. This is one of the coolest things that I've seen, and I couldn't be more happy for Newcastle and all of their fans. All that being said, what are your thoughts on Newcastle this game, all in all?
Listen, I will say a few things about this game, Tyler. First of all, great job at kind of painting the picture of what it means for a team like Newcastle to get up there and contest yet for another final. 1955 is the last time they won a final in Wembley Stadium. Put that in perspective. 70 years, just like you said, 17 appearances there. And listen, don't think for a second that players cannot get affected by a fact like that, because it doesn't matter that you're playing a final 70 years later for that club. They, you know what it means for the fans. You know what it means for the city. You know what it means for the owners that have pushed all that money behind Newcastle to get a final. We see teams like Arsenal, Tottenham, Manchester United struggle to get back on the title and get even a Carabao Cup or an FA Cup, whatever you want to call it. And Newcastle gets to win this game. I will say that Liverpool looked very, very much affected by that PSG disqualification in the Champions League. You can tell that the team did not come in with the same ferocity that they usually enter games, especially finals like this one. Newcastle was more hungry for it. They seemed more fresh on the field, and they seemed more confident in both creating and finishing chances. Dan Burn scores a header in a corner kick that not a single Liverpool player jumps for the ball. You can look at the replay.
Do you see that on the first few corners of that game? Not to cut you off, and I want you to keep going, but did you notice that McAllister was marking him on both the first two corners?
Yes, because
Dan Burn is huge. He's massive. Why is Van Dijk not on him?
Because I feel like Liverpool is playing zone on the corner kicks. It's pretty obvious. But when you go left foot on a corner kick from the left side and you take the ball away from the keeper, playing zone is kind of dangerous because somebody can run to the ball and literally just nail it just like Dan Burn did. I don't understand why nobody's even jumping. I think McAllister is more there to kind of disrupt his run and maybe bother him, you know what I mean? Because he's a shorter, stockier player, get him off balance in the air. I don't know what the thing is, but not a single defender jumping for the ball is crazy to me. And then they considered another goal from Isak again that was called offside, but it was the same thing. It was a back post header that came through the goal. Somebody shot the ball, keeper saved it, and Isak made the rebound. Liverpool was horrendous in this game all around, especially defensively.
I think we have to talk about this. Mo Salah missing in another final. And I say that, people, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from Mo Salah, the footballer. He's absolutely phenomenal until, you know, last week. He was probably the favorite for the Ballon d'Or. He's had an unbelievable season. It will go down as a historic Premier League season. Oh, and all said and done, and Liverpool lift the trophy, as they will. Yeah. But he has played in 11 finals for club and country and has not scored a non-penalty goal. He has one goal. It was a penalty. I believe it was the final of the AFCON that he scored the penalty in. Is there something to be said about Mo Salah going missing in finals? I mean, he's great. It seems like all year round. But when push comes to shove, the biggest games, let's not forget about it as well. He was kind of missing in the two legs against PSG also.
Yeah.
So it seems like he's not showing up in the big games when it matters most.
I don't think that Mo Salah is afraid of a big moment. If that's what you're kind of pushing towards, I don't think that he's like, you know, shying away from the opportunity to win the final. He's definitely scored huge goals in his career with Liverpool in the Premier League, in the Champions League. But I think all around the team was not ready to fight for a final after being disqualified against PSG. I think that their confidence was low. I think that their energy was low. I think there was a lot of like murmuring and second guessing themselves. And Newcastle deserved it wholeheartedly, being away from a title for all these years with one of the best strikers in the world in Isak. Just like you said before, he has to be one of the guys that teams are like would be lurking over to see it, to get on their team. And Newcastle now, man, listen, they won a title. That's huge. Why not build on this and next year show up in Europe and compete for Europa League?
What do you make of Liverpool's season as a whole now? I mean, knocked out of the Champions League, not in the FA Cup. Let's keep in mind, out of the FA Cup via Plymouth. They lose the Carabao Cup final. I mean, they will be lifting the Premier League trophy. But when all is said and done, do you feel as though Liverpool fans, I mean, you're a Liverpool fan, are you looking back at the season as somewhat disappointing with all that you had on the table? And now just to kind of walk away with just the Premier League title in a season where, let's call it what it is, the competition wasn't as good as it's been previously. I mean, the teams like Arsenal and Manchester City regressed from last season, I think it's safe to say. And Liverpool are really the only team that's played well all season long. So really, you know, a no-pressure Premier League title is great. But when all is said and done, is this a disappointing season as a whole for Liverpool?
I would not say disappointing, but I would say a little bit underwhelming because of what could have been. You have a lot of players that are having an amazing season, Mo Salah being the front runner of it. You have all these great players, Luis Diaz, Diogo Jota, Van Dijk, Konate, Alisson, Trent Alexander. I mean, you have a stacked roster, and I really do believe that Liverpool could have won more trophies this year. If you would have asked me before the season, I would have said that winning the Premier League would be the number one goal for them. I mean, Liverpool winning the Premier League has to be the main goal of the season. Every season starts. What could have been, though, man? I mean, if they went through PSG, I feel like they could have made it to the final and had themselves like that cherry on the top. So, yeah, what do you think about it? Would you be disappointed as a Liverpool fan seeing them just win the league?
I don't think I would be. I think here's where I stand on this. It's not a disappointing season, because you're winning a Premier League trophy, and that's been a very scarce thing to do for them, historically speaking, over the last 10 years or so. They have the one under Klopp. But I think it's hard to find yourself not disappointed, because you look at how great you've been playing, as you mentioned. You look at the season that guys like Mo Salah are having, you know, Gravenbeck as well. They have an amazing team. And to go out of the FA Cup to Plymouth, to lose a Carabao Cup final to a Newcastle team who they've beaten multiple times throughout the season but have also given them problems, and to lose out of the Champions League the way they did, they were up 1-0 in the fixture. All they had to do was take care of business at home in Anfield, and they failed to
score
a
goal.
So for me, it's just, I find it hard to not be disappointed, but I don't think the season as a whole for the club is disappointing, and I think that they're going to really make moves in the transfer window. And I want to talk about this on the other side of this break here, what Liverpool has to do to really take that next step, because they're very close to being a team that can contend for trebles year in and year out. I think there needs to be a couple of tweaks that need to get made and a couple of spots that need to be filled. But let's talk about that on the other side of this break, as well as the USA Panama game. But nonetheless, First Touch rolls on. Coming up next, we're going to dive into what Liverpool needs to do transfer-wise in the summer, and we'll talk USA versus Panama as well, which was obviously a very disappointing result. So we'll certainly have our opinions on that. First Touch rolls on. I'm your host, Tyler Bean, alongside Nico Beef Sauce. We'll be right back.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from US Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Copays and deductibles may apply. Call 800-223-4979. That's 800-223-4979. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Welcome back to First Touch here in the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. You're listening to an iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and globally on the American Forces Radio Network. Along with my co-host, Nico Beef Sauce. Nico, let's dive into it real quick. Before we get to the USA-Panama travesty, what do you think Liverpool are going to do this summer? You know, I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure everyone's seen it. The clips of Isak and Van Dijk after the Carabao Cup final. It looks like he says something to him. Van Dijk looks back, gives him a little smirk. As good as Liverpool have been, and I think as solid as their roster is, I think that there are still a lot of areas that need to be addressed. Mainly, they don't really have a true number nine. I mean, you could call Darwin Nunez a true number nine if you want, but he's just not good enough. And Jota's aging. He's had the injury problems. I mean, are they going to make a move for a guy like Isak? Is that what they really need to do to take the next step?
Yeah, I feel like Liverpool has always been great at signing players for low fees and building them up to be absolute massive superstars. Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, and Firmino, I would say, are like both, all three players, when they came to Liverpool, nobody expected them to put up the numbers that they did.
Yeah.
Liverpool has three things to address in the summertime. Virgil van Dijk, Mohamed Salah, and Trent Alexander-Arnold. Their contracts are expiring. So that's the three first things they have to address. After you address these three things, which are these three pieces are massive for Liverpool, they have to figure out how to make themselves better. And I do totally agree with you that a number nine, a true number nine that scores, I would say, between 30 or 40 goals a year is what Liverpool needs to elevate their game.
From my understanding, and I don't know if you've heard something different, Trent to Real Madrid is almost certain. And I think that that's okay if they let him go, because he, as phenomenal as he is on the offensive end, he can be a liability defensively. Now, the real question is can they keep Salah and Van Dijk? I think Salah's pretty much hinted at the fact that he's going to be leaving and that there's really not much going on in their contract negotiations. I find that crazy to let him go, especially after the season that he's having. Can they afford to lose, let's say, even one of Van Dijk and Salah and even continue to contend for the title before, will they need a couple years after, sacrificing one of those two guys?
I feel like you can find right backs and you can find wingers, but it's very hard to find world-class center backs. I would do anything I could to keep Virgil. If Trent leaves, a right back, it's going to be a transitional period, but I don't feel like Liverpool's
going to suffer from it. I think Frimpong's going there. Frimpong is for Dutch. Whoever. Gravenbeck and Van Dijk are both Dutch as well. You see the clips of them messing around, during the international breaks. I think Frimpong would be fantastic in their system, and I think that he would be a massive upgrade at right back as well, because he can defend, but he's also very good attacking as well.
Frimpong is an absolute beast.
He's a dog.
He's an absolute beast.
I think that Van Dijk, you can't let him go. You said it best. They can find another right wing. I don't think that, right away that they'll find a guy that can produce what Mohamed Salah is producing for them right now. But, you said this as well, and this is where I'm interested to see what they do. Other than Van Dijk, who is their club record signing, Liverpool really don't sign massive names for huge amounts of money. They're very frugal with spending. Now, when going to get a true number nine, Isak is going to cost, 125 million plus, 125 at the bare minimum. I'm thinking probably more like 150, deservingly as well.
Yeah.
Do they splash cash like that on one guy, or do you see them going for a cheaper option, maybe a Guy Caress or something like that, where he'll probably be more like 65 million or so?
I would honestly go for Isak because he's Premier League tested, and the fee, you're saying 150 million, it's not that much money anymore in the world of soccer, man. Like, if you want to get somebody that's scoring all those goals and creating all those chances, and Isak, the other privilege that he has is he doesn't get injured very often. I mean, somebody like Diogo Jota gets injured 4 or 5 times a year. Isak maybe has 1 or 2 injuries that they're not that heavy, thankfully for him. I would go for Isak. I would keep Virgil if they get Frimpong. He plays for Bayer Leverkusen under Xabi Alonso all these years, and he's a massive piece of their attack and defense. And I would keep it simple after that, because I do think Liverpool has a lot of talent to work with, and it's just a matter of Arne Slot finding the ways to elevate the game through those players that he already has.
All right, let's do this here, Nico. Let's talk this USA soccer game last night. You texted me last night, what is wrong with the U.S. men's national team?
Yes.
They lose 1-0 to Panama. Panama have now beaten the United States in 3 straight major competitions. 3 straight. Waterman scores in the 94th minute. The positioning for Matt Turner in goal was just so, so poor. And when, you know, I saw a statistic that came up with the minutes played at the club level for the goalkeepers for the U.S. team, and Matt Turner has played a fraction of the minutes that these other two guys have played. Stefan's one of them, former Man City goalkeeper. He's played, you know, it's like a couple thousand minutes total at the club level. Matt Turner's not even at 1,000. I think it was like 639 total minutes that he's played thus far. And when you watch something like that, poor positioning on a shot from not the best angle, he was covering the near post like the guy was 2 yards away from him. It made no sense as a goalkeeper. I'm looking at that and thinking to myself, where is this guy standing? And it goes in. I will say the celebration was all time. Waterman runs over to the CBS broadcasting booth, jumps up, starts hugging Thierry Henry and screaming in Spanish, "You are my idol, you are my idol." I mean, that stuff is just like
crazy.
That's what it's all about, bro. I mean, to think about like that, that's what you dream of as like a kid. And I mean, look, Panama deserved to win. USA created no chances. It's concerning. What I want to ask you is, you know, what is the future of this team? I mean, there is one major tournament left to prepare before the World Cup, which is a home World Cup. That's the Gold Cup that we have. And we're going to be missing a ton of guys because it's at the same time as the Club World Cup. So the other side of this is, who even says we go deep in the Gold Cup? So as they're preparing for the World Cup, I mean, I'm pretty concerned. Are you?
I am. And the reason why is because Pochettino kind of came into the team recently. But them losing to a team that doesn't have nearly as much talent as them is a big problem. Let's stop blaming everything on the coach. Let's stop blaming everything on the weather, on the signs on the sky, whatever people blame things on. USA right now has enough talent to beat Panama 10 out of 10 times. Yes or no?
Yeah, that is exactly what I was going to ask you next. Why are we losing games like this? You look at our roster. Christian exactly. Pulisic is tearing it up at AC Milan. Weston McKennie has been starting for Juventus for years and is one of their best players. Tim Weah plays for Juventus as well and is scoring goals relatively consistently and getting good minutes. You know, it used to be, oh, all our guys are MLS players. They're not getting, you know, the same training or the, you know,
exactly.
I mean, Robinson is one of the best left backs in the Premier League, and then we come and play together. We got Pochettino. We can't blame the coach anymore. We got the guy that we wanted. This was the dream. This is who everyone wanted, maybe outside of Jurgen Klopp. But when Berhalter was let go, it was Klopp or Poch. And we got Poch. So now, why? What is the issue for you when you're watching these games? Like, is it standing out to you that you're thinking this is the issue?
You know what makes soccer or football or wherever you call it the most interesting sport in the world is that it takes so much more than good players to have a good team. In basketball, you have 5 players, you put in 3, you have an amazing team literally in the blink of an eye. In soccer, you can have 3, 4, 5, 6 really good guys, and you can still lose to Panama. They have to figure it out. They have to be cohesive on the field. I watched them play yesterday, and it felt like everybody was trying to be the hero, the superhero that's going to take the ball past 2, 3 guys and score a goal. That's not how you win games. They have to play together. They have to listen to the coach, and hopefully by the World Cup, Pochettino is going to have his influence inside the team, meaning the players are going to play his style. They're going to play all on the same level, and they're going to bring some W's for USA because it's a pretty, pretty big deal for World Cup to be happening here.
Bro, this is a huge deal. I mean, we're not, you know, the conversations that are being had are now, you know, this is the best U.S. team ever. You know, what's the ceiling? Are they ever going to win a World Cup? And, like, you look at what we're seeing last night, and the answer is no. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter if our guys are starting for all the top clubs scattered across Europe, playing in the Champions League, scoring goals in the Champions League. Christian Pulisic has won a Champions League with Chelsea, although he didn't play the biggest part. But, nonetheless, I mean, it's crazy. But nonetheless, you know, just real quick, you know, a little, I got to say, I kind of like the Nations League. When it gets into those quarter semifinals, like, these are legit games, and these guys are actually playing. We saw yesterday, Rasmus Højlund scored the game winner in the 78th minute against Portugal, hit the C after Eriksen missed a penalty. So, you know, we can't have an international break without some sort of Manchester United suffering here. But nonetheless, that's great. The Netherlands and Spain played a crazy game, 2-2 draw with a red card. Nico Williams opened it up in the 9th. Gakpo scored in the 28th. Reynard scored in the 46th. Mourinho, 90+3. Seems like he loves scoring in stoppage time for Spain. Pedri, first of all, who had the assist in the first goal. I don't think enough people are talking about how good of a player Pedri is and how he controls the game. I think that he, much like Iniesta, we will look back when he is gone and say, it's a shock that he never won a Ballon d'Or, much like we said about Iniesta. Thierry Henry talks about this a lot. Pedri, he might not show up on the stat sheets with the goals and the assists as much, but he has a way, much like Vitinha at PSG, of controlling the tempo of a game. The game runs through him. He sets the tone. He's controlling the game. He's pulling all of the strings, and it can go unnoticed. But he is class. He is top class. If he could stay healthy, he will go down as one of the best for Spain. I'm telling you now.
Absolutely.
And Spain does have an unbelievable roster. I got to tell you, I'm very excited for this World Cup coming up and to cover that together. Another bit of news here. While we are live, Miles Lewis-Skelly becomes England's, I believe, youngest goal scorer in a debut. He scored in the 20th minute. They're up 2-0 against Albania. Harry Kane got the second goal there, but Miles Lewis-Skelly is a good player, and I think Arsenal, you know, have a future star in their hands. I have a feeling that he's going to be there for a very long time unless he decides he wants to actually go win a trophy and play somewhere else. But nonetheless, up next, we're going to dive into the Week 29 EPL recap. There's no Premier League games this weekend, so we'll recap last weekend, and we'll cover the games coming out of the international break next week. But nonetheless, stay right here. We're getting into the recap of last week's English Premier League games on First Touch. I'm your host, Todd Levine, alongside Kobe Sauce. We'll be right back.
Transforming your land with a John Deere compact tractor is as easy as connect, latch, load, haul, spread. Cutting grass is as simple as roll, click, mow. Box blading is as effortless as hook, lock, grade. And backhoeing is as convenient as turnaround, switch, dig. Because when you've got the versatility to tackle just about any job and dealer support in your own backyard, you just have to get in the seat. Find the right compact tractor for you at JohnDeere.com.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center. innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back to First Touch here with your host Todd Levine and Nico Beef Sauce. Time to dive into what we witnessed last weekend in the Premier League. Unfortunately, no games this weekend, but we'll be back next weekend. Actually, my birthday is April 1st, and that's when games resume, so it's a nice little birthday present for me. But nonetheless, things started off. Everton 1, West Ham 1, draw plus 220 hits. Nice juice on that. Under 2.5, minus 161. Suchek gave West Ham the lead 67 minutes in. O'Brien scored in the 91st to rescue a point for Everton. Everton in 15th, level on points with West Ham, who are in 16th on goal differential. But, look, it's not the result Everton would have wanted, but ultimately at the end of the day, when you look back just a couple months ago on where they were at, being in a fight for to get out of the relegation zone,
yeah,
and they're pretty much, when all is said and done, they're safe. Like, they're not going down. West Ham's not going down. So both these teams, these games, I'm not going to call them meaningless, but it's about getting momentum going into next season, figuring out what they need to do in the transfer window, and it's not the worst result in the world, no?
It's not, no. And we both like to draw in this game because I did believe that West Ham losing at home the previous one, they were going to go out there and at least get a point. And Everton, as you said, they're safe. They got those wins under Moyes debut on the bench, and now they can just cruise and build for the next season.
Yes, we both did like the draw, and there was some good juice. Hopefully you guys tailed the other one. I mean, I just wrote here free money in all caps. This is probably the easiest bet of the year that we'll have on this show. Ipswich 2, Nottingham Forest 4. Nottingham Forest is minus 110, over 2.5 as well. Easy, easy, easy. This game is quiet for the first half hour, and then all of a sudden, Milinkovic gets another goal in the 35th. Alanga bags a brace in the 37th and 41st, makes it 3-0 quickly. Ipswich got one back in the 82nd, quickly answered by Silva in the 87th, and Hertz scored a consolation goal in the 93rd. Forest are still in third. It is March 21st, and Nottingham Forest are third in the Premier League. Ipswich in 18th, they're 9 points from safety behind Wolves, so things are starting to look pretty dark there at the bottom of the table. It's looking like the top and bottom in the Premier League are all but figured out here. It's almost like we now, in the end of March, know who's going down and who's going to lift the trophy. But nonetheless, for Forest, they're an interesting storyline because them qualifying for Champions League football would be huge. Their owners have money. They will spend. They will reinforce this team. I mean, are you starting to really believe in this Nottingham Forest run?
I will be honest with you, man. I do believe that Forest ends in top four this season, and I'll tell you why. If you look at their next fixtures, they're playing United at home. They have Everton at home. They have Brentford at home, Leicester City, and Chelsea. I do believe they can get 5 wins on those games. And if you're able to get all your home win games, it's 15 points, and then scrap away some points on the rest of the games, you can easily finish top four. They're going to have an amazing season. And Forest, not only returning to the Premier League, but going to play in the Champions League. How crazy is that for a Forest fan?
They've won a European Cup for those who
yeah,
don't know.
Yeah, but before it was
before it was big, but still to qualify, I'm looking at these fixtures here now. United at home is you never know what version of United you'll get. Villa on the road might be a little tough. Everton at home, that's a win. Tottenham on the road, I'm saying that's a win. Brentford at home, a win. Palace on the road, tricky but doable. Leicester at home, auto win. West Ham on the road, I think is a win, and I think that they beat Chelsea at home, especially with all the marbles on the table on May 25th to wrap up the season. So I'm on board with you. I think Forest, because you have to keep in mind here, they right now have a 5-point lead on Chelsea. So it's like not only like they have they could drop a game and still finish top four. So yep. Look, I mean, I'm rooting for them. They're my Manchester United season outside of the Europa League is over. We're not getting relegated, and yeah, but I'll be rooting for Forest. They're my second team running into the end of the season here. Manchester City 2, Brighton 2, draw plus 333 cashes. I think we like the draw on this one as well. I think I might have said that I like City, but you like the draw.
I like the over 3.5.
Yeah, over 3.5 plus 110 cash as well. This game is just full of back and forth action. Haaland bagged the first goal from the spot in the 11th minute. City held their lead for only 10 minutes. Estupiñán leveled things in the 21st. Marmoush, who really seems to be enjoying life at City, gets another one right before halftime, makes it 2-1. Kucinov, who the opposite of Marmoush is having a really tough time, scored an own goal. And it's crazy that that was the last goal in this game. Nico Gonzalez hit the post. Brighton missed an absolute sitter from 8 yards out late on. Game ends in a draw. City in 5th, 1 point outside the top 4. Brighton in 7th, level on points with 6th place Newcastle. Good game. A lot of action. Can't complain.
Yeah. City is always going to pay for their defensive issues. They're not going to get rid of them. I mean, it's too late into the season to expect something different from the same players and the same coach. They obviously need to, like, reconsider things in the summertime. I will say that Brighton is always capable of scoring a goal. Same exact consistency that they concede them, they score them. So they give these teams a hard time, because if they find open fields, João Pedro is a killer, man. I think he's going to be the next biggest thing when it comes to, like, you know, Isak and how he boomed like that in Newcastle. João Pedro has the same exact potential when it comes to, like, blooming into an amazing striker.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious to see if we're ever going to see Brighton take that next step that Villa have taken, that Newcastle have taken, getting in the Champions League. It seems like Forest is taking that step right now as well. I'm curious to see if Brighton are going to take that next step at some point here. But nonetheless, you're right. They are a dangerous, capable team. No one can overlook them. It doesn't matter if you're first or last in the league. They're capable of beating you, losing. It doesn't matter, but they're certainly capable of being a threat to anybody. Southampton 1, Wolves 2, Wolves plus 105, over 2.5, minus 126 cashes. Strand Larsson got both goals, 19th and 47th minute. Onachu got one back in the 75th. Wasn't enough. Wolves hold on, take all 3 points. They extend their gap in the relegation zone to 9 points. So this is a really big result for Wolves. Southampton still only have 9 points total in the league. Dead last and 20th. They are finished and dead. Back to the Championship they go. They'll probably be back in the Premier League the following season. And then they'll get relegated again. Big win for Wolves, no?
Yeah, big win for good Wolves. And you know what the trick is, part of this game was? Cunha was suspended. And, you know, for Wolves, a team that's fighting for relegation, to be missing your best player in an away game is always a huge disadvantage. They are able to overcome the adversity. Larsson scores the goals, and they get a win that pretty much guarantees them to stay in the Premier League. I don't see Ipswich being able to cover 9 points by the end of the season.
No, I don't see that happening at all. Bournemouth 1, Brentford 2. This one was a shocker. Brentford plus 330, under 3.5, minus 146. Also kind of a shock. Jan let own goal gave Bournemouth the lead 17 minutes in. Wissad did well to equalize in the 30th. Norgaard wins it in the 71st for Brentford. A very good away win for a team that hasn't been good on the road all season long. Bournemouth in 10th, Brentford in 11th, 3 points behind. I didn't see this one coming at all, to be honest. Bournemouth are healthy. At home, they play very well. Brentford, terrible on the road. I think that's why this was a plus 330 line. But if you have the guts to take it, that's a good hit, man. That's 3.3 units on one play there.
Bournemouth losing this game is a huge missed opportunity to enter that top six realm. They're sitting at 44 points with Manchester City sitting fifth with 48. They're missing 3 points. They would have been 47. They would have been right there. It's a huge loss for them, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. They're, you know, Bournemouth are what? They're 3 points off sixth place, which, you know, it will qualify. But the issue is that you look at, you know, I don't think Newcastle are going anywhere, especially now. I think that they're going to continue to play really well throughout the rest of the season, especially after that big cup win. And then it comes down to Villa, who are also on the up. Brighton and Fulham. All, you know, that group, that from 7 to 10, it really could go anyone's way. I think if you go down to 11th, those teams for me are out of it. But Bournemouth, Villa, Fulham, and Brighton are all in contention for our Europa League position, Conference League as well. I mean, no one really cares about that as much, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I mean, to be honest, like, that's the meat and potatoes of the rest of the season. Like, where those 100%. Teams land, who's going to qualify? Because we already know what's going on at the top and bottom here. So it will be very, very interesting. Fulham 2, Tottenham 0. We just spoke about Fulham. They won on the weekend, plus 100 money line cashes, goes under 2.5, plus 133. This one was looking like it was going to be a 0-0 draw. And then Munoz got the game's first goal in the 78th minute. Sesson Yaw scored a beautiful goal in the 88th to seal the deal. Fulham in eighth, Spurs in 14th, 3 points behind United. All right, Nico.
Big win.
Postlecoglou, what's the deal with him? Are we going to see him sticking around through next season?
I don't understand. The reason why I don't understand people talking about Postlecoglou is because it's his second season in the club, and Spurs haven't found any success with any coach that they've had in the past, I don't even know how many years, too many to count. So why is there so much talk about Postlecoglou leaving? Who's going to come? Harry Potter? Like, you need a magician. You need a legit guy that's going to pull bunnies out of hats, and he's going to make the Statue of Liberty disappear in order to come to Tottenham and make them a championship-level team. This is not going to happen. Let Postecoglou live. Let him coach. And let him do his best, because clearly there's a deeper issue in that team that no coach is going to fix. And I feel like they're spending meaningless money in paying off coaches to cut their contracts like short, and then they bring in another guy and they just get rid of him a couple of years later as well. So unless Postecoglou wants to leave, I don't understand why Tottenham would get rid of him.
When you look at the Tottenham roster, who went to the Champions League final, what, 5 or 6 years ago? I don't know it exactly off the top of my head. I saw a picture of that roster the other day, and I thought to myself, this is a legit team. Like, this team is good. These are very, very good players. And the consistent theme amongst it all was they were either homegrown or bought cheap and developed into good players. And I think that's where Tottenham are going wrong. It's almost as if they feel the pressure to win a trophy so badly that they're trying to rush this process and are lacking patience to have an established identity. Pochettino was there for years until, you know, before they really saw like any level of, if you want to call it, success.
Yeah.
I don't know where they go from here. I think something has to change, and I don't think it's the head coach. I don't have any issue with Postecoglou. I think their owner is pathetic, much like the Glazers. So, you know, let's see. It's going to be very interesting how Tottenham handles this adversity here.
But
Tyler, this is low.
Tyler, you know something? It's very crazy to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. They keep doing the same thing. Big transfers, just like you said. They're not trying to grow players from within. They keep changing their coaches, and they keep finding themselves in the same situation. So it's like, just do something different. Postecoglou. Come out and say, we're going to keep Postecoglou for the next 5 years. We support him. We're going to give him money. Let's see what happens. And just put it to rest.
I agree. All right, this is going to be a fun one for, you know, this is not very often that I'm very happy with United, but Leicester 0, Manchester United 3. I hammered this one, a couple units on it, United minus 120. Over 2.5, minus 130 hits as well. Hoyland finally scores his first goal since, I think it was December, you know, right after Christmas maybe, or the game before Christmas. It was a good finish, a solid goal. I thought his hold up play was pretty solid throughout the game. I don't really have many complaints for him. He scored on the weekend as well against Portugal to win 1-0. So that's obviously good to see.
Yeah.
Garnacho had one ruled out for offsides, but then he scored again in the 67th minute. Nice little finish. And Bruno Fernandes, man, an unreal finish in the 90th minute to seal the deal. He had a goal and 2 assists. Yeah, he takes on man of the match. This is coming off of a hat trick in the prior game in the Europa League. His last 2 games, he has 4 goals and 2 assists. United up to 13th, Leicester in 19th. Level on points with Ipswich, who are in 18th. But nonetheless, let's spend the 2-minute drill here, Nico, on this game. So coming out of this break here, we're going to just dive into this United-Leicester game for the final 2 minutes of First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm your host, Ty Levine, alongside Nico Beefsauce. We're talking Manchester United and Leicester up next. Don't move.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944. Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with Nico Bisaus. Nico, real quick, Bruno Fernandes, I think he was getting a little slack in the beginning of the year because of that, you know, a couple red cards that he had in a row. But when you look at what he's been doing recently, just pretty much putting Manchester United on his shoulders and dragging them forward, you know, against all odds. What do you make of United right now, the path they're on, and how things are looking moving forward for them?
Nothing better than a team putting together a couple of wins. You know, they went through Real Sociedad on that doubleheader. That was not an easy one. They get a win away from home, which doesn't mean anything in terms of, as we said, you know, the season is not going to go either way. They're not getting relegated or they're not getting promoted anywhere. But they're putting a couple wins together. And Leicester City, man, I got to say, this team, in their last nine games, they have eight losses. And other than their win against Tottenham, they only scored one goal. They missed some big chances in this game, didn't put them away, and ultimately they lose yet another game.
DeLitt as well. I don't think people are talking enough about how good of a season that he has had. There was a lot of skepticism with that transfer coming in. I think that we are significantly worse off without DeLitt. He has been unbelievable this season for United. Xerxes as well, very rough start. He's turning into one of my favorite players for United, I have to say. He's been fantastic. He's got skills. He works hard. It looks like he's lost weight. He's in better shape. I think that, look, once we get healthy and if we have a decent summer with transfers, I think that United are, you know, I'm not going to say are a top four team just yet, but I think that we can at least be contending for top four.
Contending is important.
It is, and hopefully a little bit of magic, Europa League winners, Champions League qualification, we will see. But nonetheless, next week on First Touch, we're diving back into a Premier League weekend preview. And we'll chat about everything going on in the world of soccer, baby. So, yes. See you next week, 5 p.m. Eastern. I'm out here in Cali, 2 o'clock Pacific time, if you're listening next Friday. I'm your host, Ty Levine, alongside Nico Beef Sauce. Enjoy the March Madness this weekend, guys. Talk to you guys soon.
Good night, everybody.